This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's coming up to 7:50 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Keith. Now, a party that was born out of a Reformation movement has just marked its silver jubilee. That's 25 years. To celebrate, Parti Keadilan Rakyat convened a special convention at IDCC Shah Alam, drawing a substantial crowd of around 4,000 delegates over the weekend.
Deputy President Rafizi Ramli noted that the leadership's time had been focused on running the country and reforms in the last 15 months, but emphasised the party's imperative to strengthen itself ahead of the looming 16th general election.
To achieve this, PKR introduced two frameworks, the organisational empowerment of the Party 25 and Kema 16, aimed at enhancing grassroots support and refining electoral strategies. But really, how will PKR navigate coalition politics, maintain its ideological integrity and uphold credibility while effectively executing its framework in this ever-changing political landscape?
It's a very tall order. Mm. And for analysis on this, we speak to Dr. Azmil Taib, political scientist with University Science Malaysia. Dr. Azmil, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. First off, can we start off with your reflections of 25 years of PKR? How do you assess the party's journey and its impact on Malaysian politics?
Good morning. I see PKR has been immensely contributing to the democratization in Malaysia. So in the past 25 years, since the late 1990s, we can see the democratic space in Malaysia has been opening up, and PKR has played a big role in that. It propels Malaysia into a competitive two-party system. So before, I mean, if we remember before, you know, late 1990s, Malaysia has long been known as a one-party system. So after the introduction of PKR, in coalition with other existing political parties like DAP and PAS, you know, has managed to open up the political space in Malaysia. And also, I think if we remember that, you know, PKR is one of the few non-identity political party, or rather, it's not tied to identity politics like other political parties in Malaysia. It's not race-based and it's not religious-based. So it's a big umbrella party that caters to various demographics. So it accepts people of all stripes, you know, NGO activists, former disgruntled UMNO members, those who support Anwar back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's, you know, it's a, it injects a breath of fresh air into Malaysian politics and reinvigorate those who might be disillusioned with the Malaysian politics previously.
Dr. Azmil, what's your assessment of how PKR has done leading a Madani government, you know, going from an opposition party to running the country, as well as, you know, in the context of a party that's, as you say, not subscribing to identity politics?
I think right now, I'm looking at PKR as the PKR's performance in the Madani government as perhaps being so-so, mainly because there are a lot of distractions, you know, since the formation of the Madani government. So we can see the ethno-religious tensions, you know, the conflicts, the issues like the Allah issue and the and all those things, you know, that have been taking place in the past few months. I think it's a major distraction to carrying out actual the governing affairs, and also it's difficult for PKR also, you know, to work with other component parties within the Madani government, especially UMNO. So they seem to be at cross purpose. That definitely dampens, you know, the effectiveness of the Madani government in especially in carrying out its promised reforms. And also, I think the party seems to revolve around Anwar now, you know. So the is filled with Anwar loyalists in the government, which actually not good for the party, so, and also for the government, because in order to be effective, you need to have critical voices, you know, in the government as well. So not just you know, yes men and yes women.
Dr. Asmil, can this party last beyond the cult personality of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim?
I think it can. Definitely, it has before in the past, right? Because I mean, because by the nature of the party itself, you know, because it's not simply the party of Anwar Ibrahim, right? So it's a big umbrella party. It you know it accepts people from all backgrounds, you know, people who might not have strong ties to Anwar Ibrahim, you know, but see the party as a vehicle towards instituting reforms, making changes in society. So definitely there's an opportunity there.
So who's next to lead the party? Is it the obvious, which is Rafizi Ramli? He's number two in line.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, if he's I mean he's the obvious in the natural choice within the party. So, and maybe perhaps Nurhaliza. So I'm not I don't want to be making any speculations here, but yeah, I mean these are I mean the natural choices within the party.
Can I ask how Najib Razak, I suppose, features in the relationship between UMNO and PKR, especially as we see the judicial review application coming into play? How do you think this is going to affect UMNO and PKR in the context of the coalition government?
It certainly has caused a lot of tensions within the coalition. I'm sure, though I'm not privy to any closed door discussions or debates about this, you know, within the government. But I can imagine, and also based from my own conversations with party, you know, activists, the rank and files, and people who work on the ground, you know. So there are those PH, you know, PKR, longtime PKR supporters who are expecting the Madani government to carry out the promised reforms, you know, institutional reforms, stamping out corruption, and starting with the Najib Razak. You know, I mean, because that's what PKR and by extension PH, you know, has been campaigning on for many years, and including also Zahid Hamidi. So, and then not to see that being carried, and in fact, even backtrack on those, you know, anti-corruption promises, can be deflating for many PKR supporters, you know. So I think, and then, but of course, we know that that's what UMNO supporters want, you know, to release Najib, you know, from the sentence, you know. So basically, these two parties within the government, they're at cross purpose now and causing a lot of tensions.
Dr. Azmil, in the short moment that we have, what's your assessment of PKR's readiness going into the KKB by-election nomination days this Saturday?
I think the PKR, and I guess by extension the Madani government, should not take the KKB by-election as a shoe-in, you know, as a guaranteed victory, simply because the incumbent was part of the Madani coalition. So simply because I think the changing demographic as well, you know, in KKB. So if I don't know if you guys are aware, the data that was recently released by Tindak Malaysia, that looks at the breakdown of the demographic, and it shows that it is slightly Malay majority now in KKB. So yeah, so which means that, you know, it has become more competitive, especially for Perikatan Nasional competing there, as we can see in other parts of Malaysia, where even in where there in constituencies where there are sizable minority, you know, up to 40, 45%, and Perikatan Nasional still did well in those areas. So I think this can be dangerous for PH or for Mandate government if
Okay.
not
Yeah,
careful with it.
we will have to cut you short, Dr. Azmil. I do apologize, but thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Azmil Tai, political scientist with University Science Malaysia, commenting on PKR's 25 years. Before we head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, a quick message.
I want to invite you to tune in on Wednesday, April 24th at 2:45 p.m. We'll hear from Professor Engineer Dr. Mohamed Shahid Liu, the Vice Provost of Research and Knowledge Exchange at the University of Nottingham, about their cross-cutting research and collaborating opportunities via their Research and Knowledge Exchange Hub. This is only on BFM 89.9.
Meanwhile, after the news bulletin on The Breakfast Grill, Philip C speaks to a panel of guests on English Language Day. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.